This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support for this broadcast is provided by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Saltzman. Today's discussion spotlights physician burnout. Dr. Wilmar Schoefli, an occupational health psychologist from the Netherlands and an international leader in the study of burnout, wrote in a 2009 review, "The roots of the burnout concept seem to be embedded within broad social, economic, and cultural developments. Although burnout seems to be a global phenomenon, the meaning of the concept differs between countries. To help us further understand the relative international perspective of physician burnout, with a focus in the post-acute and long-term care arena, we welcome our guest, Dr. Arif Nazir. Dr. Nazir is Chief Medical Officer for Signature Healthcare and President of Signature Healthcare Medical Partners in Louisville, Kentucky. He's an associate professor at the University of Louisville in the Department of Family Medicine and Geriatrics. And Dr. Nazir is the Vice President-elect of the American Medical Directors Association, AMDA, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Dr. Nazir, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you. It is my pleasure.
Dr. Nazir, by definition, we understand burnout as a syndrome of exhaustion, cynicism, and decreased effectiveness at work. It is, however, by no means unique to physicians, but interestingly, the first national study of burnout in the United States did not occur until 2011, focusing on physicians, with a finding that burnout was more common among physicians than workers in other fields. Yet it's 7 years later and we're still talking about physician burnout as if it is a fresh subject. Why is physician burnout still such a focus of discussion today?
I think, we all know from our history in the medical healthcare system in U.S. during our training programs many years ago, a couple decades ago in my case, and we all have been talking about this issue at some level, you know, as a resident trainee in your resident rooms and as a primary care attending, you know, in the physician lounge, we all have kind of mentioned, you know, how tired we were or how, you know, hard it was to survive and just too much going on. So it has been an issue which has been there in the room, but it just has not been formally assessed. And until recently, as you mentioned, that it has been a recently new area of structured research. And, you know, the credible literature that has been coming out over the last few years has just put this issue to light. And now that we have seen a significant focus on this issue, we are recognizing that we are not very well equipped with interventions to address this. So I think we are feeling a panic that it's an issue which is going to define the success or failure of healthcare system in many ways for us. And then we just really have not addressed this issue heads on as we should have. So that's hence the focus is on this issue at this point.
Dr. Nazir, your recent paper in JAMDA, the Journal of the American Medical Directors Association, entitled "The Prevalence of Burnout Among Nursing Home Physicians, an International Perspective," gives a snapshot of the issue within the post-acute care settings of the Netherlands, Canada, and the United States. You sought to highlight cultural and health system factors that could potentially impact burnout levels. Talk us through some of the key findings in your paper. Why these three countries? What were some interesting distinctions?
Yeah, so Society of Post-Acute Long-Term Care Medicine, as one of its mission, has been trying to understand perspectives around post-acute long-term care setting in other countries. It is very clear understanding among researchers and other leaders in post-acute setting and also among many AMDA leaders is that we have to learn from the lessons learned from other healthcare systems in other countries, because post-acute long-term care is such a complex issue with such interesting, fascinating barriers and it kind of behooves us to understand the perspectives from other healthcare systems also in the world so that we can quickly gain how to address many of those issues. So in that regard, you know, myself and Dr. Paul Katz as the co-author of the study, we've been working with our colleagues in other countries, and it just turned out to be a great and focus of theirs also, so that we decided to approach this very first study together.
Talk us through some of the key findings in your paper.
Well, you know, most interestingly, I mean, what caught my attention was just the demographics of the physicians that were in the sample, right? I mean, if you look at how diverse and different all practitioners are in the three countries, it's just fascinating. For example, in the Netherlands, almost all physicians who were working in nursing homes, that was their job, right? As opposed to Canada, where and U.S., where this was only half of the physician's job, and they were doing other roles as being in the hospital or outpatient practice. The other key interesting finding was that in Canada, there's barely a few physicians who had extra training around geriatrics or post-acute care, as opposed to the Netherlands, where more than 90% of these physicians, and in U.S.'s case, more than 60% of these physicians had some kind of extra training around geriatrics and post-acute care. So those were just the demographically were quite clear, stark differences. In regards to the results from the survey, it was interesting to see that U.S. kind of stood out in regards to physicians having more exhaustion from the work in the post-acute setting. But in regards to accomplishment and in regards to depersonalization domains of the tool which is used, they were quite similar.
So one of your conclusions was that geriatric certification did not seem protective of burnout, yet we know that within the field of geriatrics in the United States, there's one of the highest physician satisfaction ratings. Perhaps you can describe the tool that you used a little bit more, the Maslach instrument. And, you know, could you consider that in the Netherlands, where there appeared to be focused elder care training, that perhaps this this proved that the Netherlands was able to have a decreased burnout rating?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good hypothesis to have, is that having extra training in geriatrics or post-acute or interdisciplinary teams should lead to less burnout. And I'm not ready to say that, you know, we were not able to prove that, because, you know, the sample size we had was so small that it's very hard to do any kind of multivariable analysis at this point with that. And the other thing is that, you know, you may have been trained in geriatrics and post-acute care. The other factor which becomes important is, are you able to practice real geriatrics, right? I don't know about much details about Netherlands at this point, but I know that in U.S. and in my some inquiry from colleagues in Canada, I mean, geriatricians are well-trained, but, you know, the healthcare system around them is not really ready to give them the structure which a geriatrician needs to excel, which is having a well-trained team around them. So I think this just gets to us to a very important potential hypothesis, that unless a geriatrician has the right team around them and the right structure around them, that they may not be able to practice geriatrics the way they want to practice. So, you know, our paper just opens up very, very important issues that need to be looked at. So this is just a very first exploration, and it's very hard to make any correlations at this point from just this data.
Our interview will continue after this brief message from the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, the only foundation dedicated to advancing the field and practice of post-acute and long-term care medicine. Our foundation is totally unique in focusing on issues of competence, quality, and the value we bring to patients in this setting. Please support the foundation at paltcfoundation.org.
We're talking with Dr. Auf Nazir from Signature Healthcare. Dr. Nazir, recently Stanford University shared the yearly multi-million dollar impact of physician burnout in its own institutions. But we know that burnout has further reaching implications other than losses in productivity and increased costs. There's also a significant patient safety component, with documented increased rates of medical errors, malpractice suits, and healthcare-associated infections. So, As you consider physician and patient repercussions of burnout, what have you learned from your own investigation that can be potentially applied by other leaders of healthcare providers, such as medical directors in the post-acute and long-term care setting?
Yeah, you know, in my previous roles as a physician leader in my work at Indiana University, and now specifically in my role as a chief medical officer of a healthcare organization where we have to deal, you know, work with hundreds of physicians, it has become really clear to me that, you know, there are physicians who are internally motivated and, you know, they are able to work with many, many changes we are expecting from the healthcare system and all that. But there's physicians who may not have that kind of internal motivation and they just want to work from 8 to 5, but they are not very, very feeling very well supported at this point because there has been such significant change in the healthcare system. Expectations are changing so quickly. Reimbursement and regulatory frameworks are changing so quickly. So that, you know, as a physician leader, I feel a responsibility that I have to make sure that I set up a very clear supportive structures so that my physicians do feel the support. For example, making sure that they have proactive education and resources available to understand what changes are coming their way, to make sure that the healthcare record systems we are using are friendly, and that they have the support staff which is well trained to help and partner with them. So as a physician leader, I have become, since the study, you know, we've done this study, I've become more cognizant of the fact that it is my absolute duty to make sure that the physicians I work with have the resources and the support they need, because otherwise it is very, it's going to be very hard for us to improve outcomes that we seek.
So theoretically speaking, some of the lessons learned from burnout in this specific area of the healthcare continuum can definitely be applied for quality assurance and process improvement, QAPI assessments moving forward.
I think QAPI at the facility level and QAPI at the regional and the company level and QAPI as a PALTC setting or post-acute long-term care setting has to address this issue of not just for a physician, but also the rest of the team, that how the team is doing, how they're dealing with all the changes, how they're interacting, and how we are focusing on support structures for them so that they can excel. Because, you know, what we are asking from our teams in the post-acute long-term care setting is phenomenal. I mean, it's historic. I mean, the acuity of the patients and the limitation of resources is pretty much at a historic point. So I think it is absolutely high time for us, and particularly for AMDA, is to be very laser sharp focused on this issue.
In the Journal of the American Medical Association from March of last year, there was a viewpoint discussion on addressing physician burnout, in which the authors concluded meaningful progress will require collaborative efforts by national bodies, healthcare organizations, leaders, and individual physicians, as each is responsible for factors that contribute to the problem and must own their own part of the solution. There was actually a large emphasis placed on the concept of physician healing him or herself. Dr. Nazir, what are the broader implications for addressing and managing burnout in the post-acute and long-term care portion of the healthcare continuum, especially as we consider those providers for whom post-acute and long-term care may be just a portion of their patient care practice? How do we protect post-acute and long-term care from getting lost within the physician burnout discussion?
Yeah, I think this really, really gets to me, to the issue of role of societies and organizations and institutions. And in that regard, role of the Society of Post-Acute Long-Term Care Medicine in bringing this issue to light is really key, particularly the access we have to the Futures Program, which is our young trainees, residents, and fellows who join us every year for the annual meeting, for example. I think that is the right time for us to start thinking and talking about the issues of wellness, right? I mean, exercise and diet and relationship and right, setting the right priorities and so forth. I mean, these are the basic, simple issues which we all need to work on to have a good lifestyle, regardless if you're a physician or not, just become really, really more important when you are working in a setting such as post-acute long-term care setting. Because on one end, it has been one of the most flexible setting and the most rewarding setting that I have worked in, But I think the chaos of the healthcare system and the expectations are setting up us for some issues, some problems and barriers. And if we individually, as a physician and as a person, are not aware of these, and we as a society and organization are not trying to come up with interventions to address them, I think we'll be in trouble. So I think this is a really important time for us to be very, very much focused on this issue individually and as an organization.
So as we conclude this discussion, it appears clear that the post-acute and long-term care aspect of the healthcare continuum is really impacted as much as any other piece of the healthcare continuum, and that when we think about ways in which to manage a physician burnout, the concepts of resilience and mindfulness and other modalities seem equally important in the post-acute and long-term care world compared to anywhere else.
Yeah, I think it's actually more important, I would argue, because most of the time physicians who work in post-acute long-term care setting really get exposed to many different cultures, right? I mean, most of the physicians work in many organizations, many different facilities, and every single facility brings its own barriers, challenges, and their own unique cultures. So it becomes way more important than for a physician who works in a hospital setting where you really are dealing with mostly with one culture and one set of people. So I think that working in different healthcare systems and with different people really makes you at a higher, puts you at a higher risk of running into issues with burnout and exhaustion. So I think the issue is way more important in the post-acute long-term care setting.
And we will await further information spurred on by the results and thoughts of your recent study. We have been discussing physician burnout with Dr. Arif Nazir, Chief Medical Officer for Signature Healthcare and incoming Vice President for AMDA, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Dr. Nazir, thank you again for your time today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
References for today's discussion can be found at the website paltc.org. Until next time, I'm Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
Support for this broadcast is provided by the Foundation for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care. If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM, pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, please email cmd@paltc.org with your name and the podcast title. Thank you.